Good morning, everyone. They're trying to not let me talk because they're hiding the microphone. Of course, they hid it at my seat, so I don't know what that says about me. But anyway, we are so happy you all are here today. Everything looks a little bit different, but I need all of you adults to look at me for a minute because I don't want you to think that this service is not for you. Just because we have some very cool kid decorations up here, I promise you that the message today will be just as impactful for you if you are willing to get in and hear what is said. So we're excited about what God is going to do in the service today. A few things we want to let you know. First of all, it is with a somewhat heavy but also rejoiceful heart, we want to let you know that Sister Peggy Pressler has went home to be with Jesus. So she does have arrangements for today. So if you'd like to go to visitation, it will be at the Beach Funeral Home here in Cary from 2 to 4 today, and then also from 6 to 8 tonight. And then the funeral will also be at the Beach Funeral Home tomorrow at 2 p.m. So everyone is welcome to go and pay their respects in those ways. And how many know the Bible says that we don't grieve like those who have no hope? But we still grieve. We still miss her. We still appreciate who she was in Christ. But right now she's rejoicing, and we need to rejoice with her that she is with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But keep that family in prayer. So Brother Melvin will need your prayers and any support that you can give him, words of encouragement. I'm sure we'll work out some meals. If he would like to have some meals, we'll take care of that. So more details will come if he's open to that idea. And they are not doing a funeral dinner. I know a lot of people want to know because we love to help families out in that area. And he said for right now, he just wants to go home after the funeral and figure things out. So we can pray. Let's pray for him. Also, I want to start with a video today from our general bishop, Bishop Ming, and it is about September, which he has asked us to focus on eternity in the month of September. So if you turn your eyes to the screen, and we will have a video from our bishop.
Hey, PCG family, let me take just a moment to remind you that Impacting Eternity Month is right around the corner. During the month of September, we want to inspire every person to share their faith, every church to do an outreach, and every nation to touch a city. I know that evangelism is happening all through the year, but there's something powerful about joining together and inspiring one another in one mission, one movement for one month. Sometimes we all need encouragement to reach the lost. And remember, when we reach one person for Christ, we change the trajectory of eternity. We depopulate hell and we populate heaven. So let me encourage you to go to pcg.org and especially our Impacting Eternity Hub. There are many, many resources there for church evangelism, personal evangelism that will inspire you and the church that you serve. Again, join me, Impacting Eternity Month, the month of September, as we move the mission of Christ forward in impacting eternity together. God bless you.
All right, so you're going to hear a lot about Impacting Eternity over the next 4 weeks. There are several things the church is doing. We will have devotionals that we are putting out, so you'll get more information about that. We're going to do a Surround the Town in Prayer event, so be watching for details about that. And then we're going to have a special Impact Eternity service where we have Evangelist Nicholas Hall coming in, and we're going to invite everyone that we know who is not a believer to come to that service. And we believe the month of September is going to be powerful. Amen? All right. And I just have two other announcements. First of all, we also have a mission trip planned. It's coming up the last weekend in November, which is also the first weekend in December. We will be going to Appalachia Mountains to do some mission work in that area. And that's for ages 13 and up. So my teenagers and my adults, you are all welcome to attend. And we will have an informational meeting. So if you are at all interested, plan to come to the meeting for all of the details. That will be September 10th, right after morning service. So if you think you might be interested, just come to the meeting and you can get all the full details at that time. And our last announcement is we do have our Steadfast Nursing Home Ministry today at 2 p.m. Everyone is welcome to come. The nursing home is on 199 heading towards Upper. So if you go that route, you can't miss it. And at 2 p.m., just go and share Your Love with the Residents, sharing the love of Jesus. So you're welcome to attend that. There's always lots of events going on. We encourage you to check out the website or download our app. If you don't know how to do that, like me, I just go and ask for help from the media people. So if you need help downloading the app and you have a smartphone that can do it, go and talk to them. And if you don't have a smartphone, don't use technology. We do have paper calendars. You can go to the welcome desk for a paper calendar of what's going on. And at this time, we have Brother Jesse coming with our call to worship scripture. And again, I want to remind all you adults, I expect to see you getting in this morning. This is not just about the kids. It's about the body of Christ today.
Amen. Praise the Lord, church. God is doing something in the house today. He is. He's doing something. You have a need in your life? God's going to meet it today. I have a scripture I want to read this morning. But before I do that, have you ever watched someone begin to paint a picture? Maybe Bob Ross on PBS. I'm sure everybody knows Bob Ross, right? Okay, well, he starts out, yeah, he's got all kinds of little friends in there, doesn't he? Well, he starts out with a blank canvas, and most of the time, when they start painting, it doesn't make sense, right? Because you don't have the mind of the painter. You don't know what it's going to look like when it's done. But the painter knows in his mind, right? He knows where trees are going to go. He knows where rocks or people. He has the plan in his mind. But looking in from the outside, we don't know what's going on. And it's not until the painting is finished that we fully understand the beauty, because sometimes you can pick out, oh yeah, that's going to be a tree. I know that's going to be a tree. I know this is going to be a waterfall or whatever. Okay, using things that relate to Bob Ross. But again, it's not until the painting is finished that we understand the full beauty of it. Even things that may look like mistakes make sense when it's complete. And I want to read Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. How many know that the good things that God planned for us long ago aren't always easy? Sometimes it's tough to do what God wants us to do, right? But when we put our faith in God, it will produce what he wants it to produce. Amen? So when we first become Christians, things look beautiful, right? The grass is green, we see colors, we see life. But if we're not careful, later on in our walk with Christ, things sometimes don't make sense. We get to this place where things are difficult, and it's like, God, my painting is messed up. What did you do to my life? Sometimes we can feel that way because we're in a hard place, and we don't understand what's going on. But it's in these times that God is producing what he wants in us so that we can make something beautiful. And it's God that is producing these things in us. So when we put our faith in what God is doing in our lives, even if it doesn't make sense, we have to believe and know that God is producing, he is making something beautiful, and we just need to continue to walk with him. Amen? All right, so things are set up a little bit different up here, so we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to ask you to bring your tithes and offerings after the second song. And Pastor Caleb's going to give you a little reminder then, so we're going to do tithes and offerings after the second song today. All right, so God bless you guys. Just want everybody to come in and worship the Lord.
Rock the big boat.
Was devoted, a good and faithful man, but the earth was a cruel and nasty place, so God revealed his plan. Soon he said to Noah, this is what you're gonna build, a boat so big and wide you and a zoo can fit inside. They're gonna
build the boat, build the big boat, build the boat, build the big boat, build the boat, build the big boat, build the boat, build the big boat.
the boat began by Noah and his kin. God said you gotta go build it big, so that's just what they did. When Noah was 600, the ark was finally done. The animals came, God shut the door, the flooding had begun.
They're gonna ride the boat, ride, ride the big boat.
Ride the boat,
ride, ride the big boat.
Saw. Now pull the rope. Now do them all. One, two, three.
They're gonna rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat, rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat, rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat, rock the boat, rock, rock the big boat.
We are extremely blessed and excited that we can be here today in the house of the Lord with you. This morning, as Brother Jesse said, we're going to get started and we're going to ask for you to bring your morning tithes and offerings. So kind of before we do that, let's just pray. So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we just love you this morning, God. We thank you that you are with us in this place today, Lord. We thank you this morning, God, for each and every person that is here and each and every person that is going to give to your kingdom today, for it is for your kingdom and not for our church, God. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in this house this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lost another one, I am free. I am free. I am free. Savior, I thank God.
Do it again. Open up it. Savior make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
As they continue to play the song softly, stay in a place of worship. Please don't leave there. I just felt impressed to come before you and say what I felt the Lord speaking to me this morning. This song is beautiful. When you just think about the Spirit that God gave us as He moved over the water in the book of Genesis, and the earth was void and without form. The Spirit moves over us. We have that gift of the Spirit. But then I had this thought. This song is beautiful to us who've received Jesus Christ into our heart. What if somebody doesn't understand what this song means? And I was thinking during the song, I thank God. That song is about redemption and receiving salvation. It says, He picked me up. God loved us, you guys, that He sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to walk on this earth, to live a short but impactful life, that He hung up on that cross and poured out His blood for us, for you, each and every one of you in this room, because He loved us. And when that was completed and that was finished, there was a veil torn that released the Spirit of God, because we could not have that with us, within us, around us, until that was completed and that was finished. God picked me up and He turned me around. For many of us, maybe we didn't have a past that looked bad, of something to turn from. But ask God one day, God, where would I have been if I didn't receive you before I went in that direction? What did you keep me from? He still turned you around. Whether you lived your whole life serving God or you lived a life of a sinful nature walking in a different direction and He turned you from it, it's the same thing. God saved you from what you could have been. So He picked you up. He turned you around. He gave you a new name. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And when you receive that salvation, you accept Jesus Christ into your heart. You have His Spirit. His Spirit dwells within you. It is with you. It is that little voice that says, hey, Tasia, you shouldn't be doing that. That's not of God. Hey, go in this direction. He'll give you urgings. He'll give you nudges. But that's then where this song can flood over you. And you understand, once you have received the revelation, the redemption and salvation of Jesus Christ, then you understand what this song is saying, what the power and impact of the Spirit is. I am nothing without God. I am thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit that is with me always. So my encouragement with this word is, if you're on that borderline, you haven't fully received Christ Jesus into your heart, you're curious, and you want more, and you want more understanding, all you have to say is, God, I repent. I repent of my old ways, and I want to receive you into my heart. I want to follow you the rest of my days. I want to walk with you. I want to serve you. That's all it takes to receive Jesus Christ. I turn around from my old ways, and I want to follow you. And then you just let God do the rest. Jesus will work in you and through you, and He has given you that Spirit to walk with you, to guide you. And He gives you His Word, which is kind of like our instruction manual for life. It's all right there. It really is. So I just wanted to share that this morning. That was heavy on my heart. If you are on that borderline and you don't understand fully what this song is singing, what we're talking about, just receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, that salvation. Accept him into your heart. Turn from your ways. And you will start to get understanding. I praise God and I thank him. So continue to just press in and worship as they continue to sing this song. Hallelujah.
Holy Spirit, together, I see some people already doing it. The presence of God is here. I want you to just close your eyes. This just helps us concentrate. That's why we close our eyes, all right? We don't see any distractions around us. And then just lift your hands, however you want to. I know for some people it may be uncomfortable because you've never done it before. But this is just a sign telling God that we want Him and we're surrendering to Him, right? And it's not a forceful thing. It's not like He's making us raise our hands. This is a willing thing where we say, no, no, I want to give my life to Christ right now. And we're going to sing this little part of the chorus again. And I want you to understand is sometimes we feel inadequate. Sometimes we feel like we don't have enough to give God because He's given so much to us. But He tells us in His Word, the Bible, that all He wants is our praise. And so if we just simply give Him our hallelujah or praise ye the Lord, that's what hallelujah means, then that's all He wants. And so sometimes it may feel like a broken hallelujah, but we just give it to Him anyway. So come on, let's just lift our hands. I know they may be getting a little heavy, but let's just sing this to Him right now from our heart. Hallelujah, we praise you, Lord.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that
just open your mouth
and
your heart. Worship.
Don't you get shy, you lift up your
song. Lift up your song.
You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Even when we don't feel like it.
Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me.
Some praise this morning. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You guys can real quietly make your way back to your seats. Thank you for being so willing to come and just worship Jesus and give your heart to him and praise this morning. It's amazing to see young people and adults together, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful to see the body of Christ just come together and worship God together from a true heart, a true heart? It's exciting. We're going to do something that wasn't planned, but it's on our hearts as pastors this morning. And how many of you know that someone who relays the word of God to us, that is anointed by God to do that, and they are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so they hear what God's saying and then they speak it to us, that person should be honored? You agree with that this morning? Yeah, they need to be honored. And we have a man of God with us this morning, Pastor Randy Waters, and we're going to be giving him an offering from the church. But sometimes, hear my heart as a pastor, sometimes we're afraid, I don't want people thinking that we just want their money all the time and all this. And so we try to be cautious with taking up too many offerings and stuff like that. But we also have to be careful that we don't stop blessing in your life. Because when you give into a ministry, the Bible says it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men then give unto your bosom. That's what the Bible says. And so as we give, it's like planting a seed that will increase and come back to us. And I know that that's not our heart always. Sometimes we just want to give because we want to be a blessing. But it's called the law. Everyone say law. Law of reaping and sowing, right? And so you can't help it, right? You see this beautiful corn beside of us here, right? The Mr. Broadman, the farmer who planted that corn, there was an expectation that when he put that seed in the ground, corn was going to come up, right? He didn't expect soybeans to come up because he didn't plant soybeans this year. Now, I think last year that's what he planted, was soybeans. He expected corn because it's the law of reaping and sowing and reaping, right? And so we have to understand that when we sow into a ministry like Pastor Randy's, that we're going to reap a harvest from that, not just for our blessing, but for the kingdom of God. You understand? So when we give an offering like this, we're not just giving tithe that the devourer would be rebuked for our sake, like the scripture says. This is an offering that says, I'm giving into the kingdom of heaven. You see, this man travels around the world and preaches the gospel. And although we wish it would be this way, it's not free to travel. Right? What he's giving to people is free, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it costs a lot of money to get that gospel there, right? And what I'm believing this morning is as you sow in this ministry and give in this offering, that you're going to receive a supernatural blessing in the kingdom of God. That I want you to believe for some great things this morning. I want you to believe for thousands of young people to be saved overseas. There's a door opening up in Honduras right now. Let's sow into that. Believe that a door will open up in Honduras, not just young people, but household salvations. Because as kids get saved and take it home to their parents get saved and their lives are totally transformed and changed. Can you do that this morning as we give in this offering? Let's just believe God. Now listen, we understand that you may not have come prepared. You may not have your checkbook. You may not have extra cash. You may have only brought your tithe and offering that you normally give this morning. That's fine. But there's other ways that you can give. We have Venmo that you can give to. We have PayPal that you can give to. Or you can just say, hey, I'm going to be given to this offering, and let us know how much God has laid on your heart, and we'll add it to the check that we give Pastor Randy this morning, okay? However you're feeling. Now listen, you guys know my heart. I'm not a high pressure guy. So if you're like, I don't feel anything, Pastor, that's fine. Just pray with us then. That's more powerful than the money, because God can take a penny and increase it to hundreds of thousands of dollars, all right? So please hear my heart. I'm not doing this to try to get into your pocket and pull anything. I'm just asking you, whatever God's laying on your heart this morning, give. And give in faith, knowing that this is going to make an impact on the kingdom of heaven. We're getting ready to move into Impact Eternity Month, right? What better way to kick it off than just giving an offering, believing that God's impacting eternity, amen? So they're going to start singing a song, and as they do, I want you to come and bring this offering. But let's pray over it first. Father God, we thank you that you have given us tools and disciplines in your kingdom. And one of those is giving, Lord. And as we give, we know that it makes the gospel move forward and be spread into all of the world. God, it also blesses our lives and strengthens us. And it gives us an opportunity to use our faith. Now, God, we come together right now in faith, believing that this offering will impact eternity because it's going to build your kingdom. It's going to be a blessing to our brother. It's going to increase his life and his ministry, but that's only so that he can be a greater impact in your kingdom, Father. We thank you for souls. We thank you for healings. We thank you for miracles that come from the ministry of your word, Lord. We thank you for all the testimonies that we've heard, God, of this ministry. But God, we thank you that this is going to propel this ministry forward even greater and into greater things. I thank you for that door in Honduras opening up. I thank you, Lord, that it's going to be phenomenal. That God, you're going to do great things in Honduras right now. We stand in faith, believing together in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come, would you come and just worship the Lord in giving this morning? I'm so thankful for the love of God, aren't you? Thankful for what he's done in our hearts and our lives. And we are just so excited about what God is doing in our midst. There's great things happening here in this church. There's great things. I want to remind you that next week will be our second bilingual service. How many are excited about our bilingual services? Yeah. Praise the Lord. They are amazing. Pastor Dunya will be preaching, so get ready. You already know she is a fireball, and she is just going to give us the word, and we're just going to shout with her, amen? And God is going to do a great work. I do want to remind you that today is the viewing, the visitation of Sister Peggy Pressler from 2 to 4 and 6 to 8. I want to remind you of that. And, you know, this week as I was just thinking about this, I thought to myself, I could see her. How many of you have ever seen a runner that crossed the finish line and they just kind of lifted their arms and extended themselves, right? I saw Sister Peggy doing that, man. She was just like, hey, I've made it. Hallelujah. And it kind of felt like that, didn't it? She just went so quick, like, you know, and sometimes God just does those things. We don't always understand why, but we know where she is, that she's not gone, and we've not lost her. Amen? But she's passed from a world of corruption to a holy place where she shall ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. That's worth celebrating this morning, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And then this morning I got news that another brother of ours who have been struggling for a long time, he actually was at the nursing home that we're going to this afternoon for Steadfast, and he would come to the services there because he could no longer come here. Brother Billy Moyer, he passed also, and he got to cross from this world into the next life. And he told me, I went and visited him this week because they said it probably wasn't going to be much longer. And I was able, had the opportunity to go see him. And he looked at me, and if you know him, he had a speech impediment, couldn't always get the words out very well. How many know that God still uses people like that? Isn't that awesome? God still partners with people like that. And he just looked at me and said, Pastor, I'll see you on the other side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. That's good news, amen? It's good news. And it grieves us because we love them so much. And I always say this, remember this, we should grieve. But we just, like Pastor Alicia said this morning, we don't grieve like those with no hope, right? But we grieve because we love. And love demands the price of grief, right? And how many know it's willing to pay that? We're willing to pay that price. And so this morning, before we turn over the service, I want to just go before the Lord in prayer. We have other people here that have just recently had family members pass. We're going through a time and walking through a time. And the Bible tells us that when one rejoices, we all rejoice. But when one mourns, we all mourn. How many know that in one service, we can rejoice and mourn at the same time altogether? And how many know that we have hope because of Jesus Christ? And even now, not just in the future that we'll see people again, but we have hope right now that he comforts all those that mourn. He comforts all those that mourn. I have faith in that. Do you? Let's join right now together and ask God to just wrap his arms around this church family as we walk through this time. I know we have already begun grieving for others. Bob Fredericks is one on my mind. How many are so thankful that if God's mercies and grace? Amen. We're just going to keep walking through this moment together, and we're going to keep rejoicing in the hope of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that in our time of need, we can come to you. Lord, you see those that have passed from death to life here on earth, and we're walking with you now. We live in relationship with you. And because of that, we have a future hope that when we pass from this world, we will go into the next world and be with you. Now you see our brothers, our sister, Lord, that have done this, and you see our hearts and how it grieves for them because of our love for them. God, I pray that you would just comfort our hearts right now. Jesus, we know your word tells us that you are our consolation. And we receive the consolation of the Father right now through Jesus Christ, through his grace, through his peace, through his mercy, Lord. We receive it right now. We give you thanks for it. And we celebrate the homegoing of those that have crossed their finish line. They have ran their race and they have kept the faith. And God, I pray that you would help us now to continue in the path that they followed, which is the path of Jesus Christ. Let us continue to follow him, Lord, through it all. Be with us. Give us strength in this hour and the days ahead. Comfort the family members as they walk through it, Lord. And God, we know that you're a good God that loves us and that you'll never leave us or forsake us, but you'll be with us to the end of the age, and you're with us right now, and you're walking through the process with us right now. And we give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I know it doesn't feel like a testimony, but those are testimonies. They've withstood the test, and they've held on, and they've kept the faith, and they've overcome. Amen. But I want to share two more testimonies with you that I received. One I received this morning, one we got last night, and I wanted everybody else to hear it. But the first one I got this morning, Brother Les come up to me. Raise your hand, Brother Les. And he said to me, he said, Pastor, I just got to tell you what happened to me last Sunday. We were here and Pastor Alicia had ministered and God was moving in the altar service. And God gave me a word to go pray for Brother Les because I knew he'd been struggling with vertigo. And as we were praying and listening to the Holy Spirit together and God just instructing us what we needed to do, all of a sudden he said, when I pulled my hands off of his ears, he said he felt God, it felt just release, and God moved in his life. And he was a little tired that day, but after this, he said he's been completely whole. God healed him. God healed him of vertigo. Amen. Praise God for that. God's moving in this place. Healings and miracles are taking place. Then last night, Brother Jesse came up for prayer. There were several people that came up for prayer, and I loved how Pastor Randy had the kids come and lay hands on the people who needed prayer as well. And we used our faith together, and we saw God do just cool healings and miracles. But I wanted to share this with you because it was something that was very visible. And so Brother Jesse, ever since our softball game, how do you remember the softball game a few weeks ago, right? By the way, us adults beat you kids. So you can keep trying next year, but we'll win again, even though I didn't play. Anyway, he hurt himself during that game. He caught a ball to the ankle, and it was weird. His ankle kept hurting and hurting, and then his foot, it was on the side and underneath of his foot, it had turned black and blue. And I saw it. I was like, whoa, dude, that don't look too good, you know what I mean? He just kept going along, you know how we do as guys. We don't ever think about getting anything checked out. We just go along. And he had been in pain, and he came last night, and he still had the inflammation, the swelling, and the bruise. After prayer, guys, Jesse goes back to his seat, pulls his shoe off, pulls his sock, because it doesn't hurt anymore, and looks, the bruise is completely gone. The swelling is completely, it was like nothing had ever happened. God is a miracle working God. Amen. God heals. And so say, why are you telling us this? Because I want to stir up your faith. I want to stir up your faith. God's moving in this place. God's healing and touching people's lives. And every time we come together, we don't know what's going to happen. We just know something's going to happen. Amen. Because God is in our midst. And so be encouraged and be ready this morning. All right. Now we're going to dismiss. We do have our nursery open, right, this morning. And so you can take your babies back to nursery. What's the ages of them again? 3 and under, 2 and under, 1 and under. Can I get a 4? 4. Can I get a 4? 5? 5. All right. 3 and under. So 3 and under, if you want to take your babies to the nursery, you can do that right now. But everyone else, even our preschool, is that what we call it? They're staying here. That's what I'm saying. So even the preschool class is staying in here because we know that God has a word for you. Amen? Well, we're going to have a good friend of mine. He's actually a brother in the Lord. Now, we all know that we have brothers and sisters, right? But how many understand that there are brothers that you have in the Lord, sisters that they come from the same DNA? It's not, we also know that it's Christ, but there's just a covenant connection, right? And so Pastor Randy and I are in covenant because we have the same spiritual father, Pastor Peter Dosick, that's ministered in our lives. We have fasted and prayed together. We've traveled the world together, went going over to Kenya, Africa. We've seen God move. We've been through some stuff together. Last night he shared a story about your pastor getting lost and your other pastor getting ready to tear a city apart to find her. If you don't know that story, we were in Narok, Kenya together, and it was a different situation. Usually we're out in a more of a field type setting. This was like right down in the heart of the city, which was pretty cool, but yet dangerous. And then the last night we were praying, God was moving, miracles were breaking loose. I was praying for a guy who was coming up out of a wheelchair. Other people were praying, people getting filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Man, it was just hopping. And as that happened, the crowd kept moving closer and closer and closer to the stage. And we had a lot of family there, more than just guys. Sometimes when we go, it's just more guys. But we had a lot of family, kids, and our wives and women there. So they were like, we need to get out. So they grabbed Alicia and shoved her in the very last van, in the very back of the van. And I had two other brothers come to me and they say, Pastor Joe, where's your wife? Instantly, I went out of praying for people mode into, I'm going to tear Narok apart until I find Alicia. And I love it because he didn't share this part, but Pastor Rick Burks was right there with me. And it was funny. He like stepped up beside me. He's like, let's go, Pastor Joe. Like, me and him, we're going to go together, man. He was just right with me. And thankfully, we found her. She was in the last vehicle. And she's like, she literally lifted her hand. She's like, I'm right here, Joe. Like, it's okay. But we've been through some stuff together. This last trip we went on together, Mwawa, is that how you pronounce it? Mwawa? We were in Mwawa, but we stayed in Kisii. And so there was a lot of travel back and forth, rough terrain. And it was hill country up and down. And the crusade's over. God has moved and we're thankful for it. What was like 60 some thousand people had come out to the field that we were able to minister to. Hundreds of kids in the schools going across there. Even schools that at first didn't want us to come in, all of a sudden they started calling Pastor Harry, hey, can you come to our school? Can you come to our school? And so they threw a whole bunch of extra schools in on that trip. But we're heading back, tell this funny story, we're heading back and it starts raining. And Pastor Harry's driving and all of a sudden we hit this spot and we're on a hillside, actually more like a mountainside, all right? Now, in America, we have what's called guardrails. That if we start sliding off the road, we run into the guardrail and stop and we're okay. In Africa, there are no guardrails on these narrow roads, and all of a sudden we start sliding, and now we're not just sliding, but we're spinning out, and we're going backwards down the road, and as we're sliding, we're getting closer and closer to the edge of this mountain, and I remember all of us just started praying, and Pastor Randy goes, oh, Jesus. That's what he said, oh, Jesus, like that, and we slid around, did a whole 360, popped off of the paved road and stopped right in the dirt, right on the edge of the thing. We're like, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Pastor Harry was driving. He just pops it back in, and we go down the road, and all of us were kind of laughing about it and having a good time, except for Brother Andrew. I think he was still scared. And we were just joking and said, you know, a lot of times we do that for fun, but when we don't know what we're doing, it's not fun. And Pastor Harry goes, you want to do it again, guys? We're like, no, we're good. So we've been through some stuff together, amen? And God has kept us the whole way. God has kept us the whole way. And so I'm excited to have him here this morning. He's a pastor at Only Believe Ministries in Botkins, Ohio, and God is doing great things in their ministry. Their church continues to grow. And he's more, just so you know this, he's more than just a children's pastor. He's been a children's pastor for probably, 17 years, but he also preaches in the main house constantly and works there and pastors the church. And so why don't you give him a round of applause as he comes this morning?
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, my friend. God bless you. I like it when I get puffed up. Yeah, no, it's awesome. No, you know, I've never been here before. This is my first time. And, you know, I thought Botkins was in the middle of nowhere. But, man, you guys got Botkins beat really bad. I look out on one side, and, man, there is the corn. And on the other side, there is the cows. I mean, you guys are really out here in the middle of nowhere. You know, and I wondered what the cows thought of that foam last night going through the fence. What in the world? Moo. Anyhow. So that was beautiful, but it's been good. I mean, you guys got a beautiful facility out here. It's just amazing. And you know, I'll tell you what, you guys have the real deal sitting right here in the front row. The real deal. Yes, they are. They are who they say they are. And like Brother Joe said, I've been with him everywhere. And you know what? Even when he became the Red Hulk, you know, after his wife, the brother never cussed. I mean, the brother never, you know, punched nobody. I mean, he stayed a Christian, even though he was very angry. You know, where is he? So you know what? He is who he is in private as he is in public. And so is Alicia. So you guys got the best right here in front of you. So, I mean, that's just, and you don't get that very often. You know, we've been around the world. I've seen a lot of churches, seen a lot of pastors, and they are not who they say they are. But you have the ones who they say they are. And that's why God's ministering here. That's why God is growing here. And that's why he's bringing people to this place. Because it is a lighthouse. It is a lighthouse. So congratulations, and thank you for inviting me. Last night was a blast. Yesterday we was at the park with all the kids. And then, of course, last night we had service, and God did some great things. He held a back, too. I don't know where he is or whatever. And all kinds of real cool stuff. And the kids, man, they used their faith. It was beautiful. And then after church, we went out and we got soaked in the nasty foam and the foam pit. And as I was sitting over here, Brother Joe, the Lord told me that foam machine is yours. So we're going to give that foam machine to you. So don't load it up. Whoever has it, getting ready to load it up, don't load it up. That foam machine is staying right here with you guys today. So that's beautiful. Awesome. You know, just like he said, you know, you give and God gives back. So I'm believing for a monster foam machine, God, next. A big, big, big one. So that's right. Yours is seed. But, you know, he was telling me that maybe even like the park or the football team or the school was wanting to borrow it. You know what? Now you can let them borrow it. Now you can sow the seed into the town, into the parks, into the schools. Letting them know that, hey, we're here. We'll do whatever you guys need for us. So you use it to win souls, all right? And let your kids have fun every now and then with it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Awesome sauce. Well, you know, I didn't even know what your theme was, but I did know. You're wonderful children's pastors and children's workers who do an amazing job with your kids. You know, I guess I saw the brochure once. You know, life has been very busy. And I was trying to get a message together and praying and nothing was coming together. And I'm like, gosh, God, what do you want me to do? And I'm going outside, and I'm walking around, letting the new puppy out that we got, and bringing her back in, coming back, sitting down, opening my mouth. What do you want me to do? And just nothing was really just grabbing me. So I went, well, let me see what they're doing over there. And I opened it up, and I saw the brochure, you know, and I really paid attention to it this time. You know, and it said, anchored in hope, you know, anchored in faith. And I was like, ooh, and you know what? Man, that all of a sudden hit me, and a seed dropped in my spirit, and I opened up, and I just started writing. And I wrote and wrote and wrote until Friday, I think 11:30, I got this message done. I was like, because things just kept coming. And so I walked into church then yesterday, and when I looked up on the stage, I saw all this stuff, and I just stopped, and I just laughed, because this, what I'm teaching on today, is exactly what you guys are talking about, your theme and everything. And I was just like, God, you are so good. You still like me, and you're still speaking to me. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So what I'm getting ready to talk to you about today, it's probably one of the most serious things as the body of Christ and as the believers we're going through today. So you teenagers, you're out there, listen, pay a close attention to what I'm about to tell you guys today, because as we know, and listen, I know we're in cornfields here and Botkins as well, and we get kind of sheltered. We are really kind of sheltered from the real world out here in Cary and Bluffton and Botkins and things like that. But if you go to Columbus, which is quickly becoming one of the darkest states around here with sin, if you start looking around, you start looking at Toledo, you know, Cleveland. I had no idea Cleveland was one of the biggest sex trafficking cities in the states. Unbelievable, right here in Ohio. And then, of course, we see what California is like and all these other states. We're sheltered here, you know, but we have to know that the world is becoming more hostile to the gospel than it ever has. You can see it on television. You can see it by just talking to people. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's not going to get better. It's not going to get any better because this is the last days. And so I was looking online at some stuff, and you don't have to look very far at how hostile the world is toward the gospel. Everybody knows who Conor McGregor is, right? Yeah, he's a UFC fighter, and he's supposed to be the best. Well, I looked at a statement that he said, and he said that he doesn't know about Jesus, but there ain't a man alive that can beat him, he said. And he said, but Jesus ain't alive. This dude don't even know Jesus is still alive. And he said, but maybe he can come back from the dead and I'll kick his ass. Wow, are you kidding me? This is crazy. Now, number one, the guy's a psychopath because if you look his record up, he's lost six times. All right, so he's lost six times. And then, of course, his very first ever boxing career, he got knocked out in the 10th round by Mayweather. So he don't even know what he's talking about, you know? And that was just him. So then Lady Gaga, everybody knows who Lady Gaga is, right? She says in the last award that she got, I thank God and all the gays. I thank God first, and then I thank all of the gays at her award show. Okay, does really those two go hand in hand? I don't know, but kids are watching, and kids are listening. And then you have Morgan Freeman. Man, I love Morgan Freeman. The dude is fantastic in movies. But he said in his last interview, I believe in God. I believe in me. They're one and the same. You've got to be kidding me. This guy has played too many God movies because it's getting to his head. You know, I was just shocked that he said this. And then a group of people, they're on a platform, and this just came up on my live feed, on a people, and they said they started tearing the Bible apart. And they said as they were tearing the Bible apart, we are destroying their symbol of oppression. They call the Bible a symbol of oppression? Wow, they are deceived in a big, big way. And then Kelly Griffin, this just shocked me as well. She said in her award ceremony that Jesus had nothing to do with her award because people always come up on stage and say, I thank Jesus and then I thank my family. Well, Jesus had nothing to do with my award. And she said, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now. Unbelievable. This is happening right before our eyes. And then there's a new lady out here called Anna, I can't think of her last name, Conspirian. And she is the host of a very popular show called Polished Citizen. And I don't know if you've guys ever seen that. But she is going off on Christians and the Bible. And I mean, this is just like yesterday. This is recent. She says, I don't care what your God blank Bible says. I am tired of everybody coming up to me and telling me, well, this is what the Bible says. And this is what you need to do. You live your life and I'll live my life. But leave me the F alone. Wow. Think she's mad? I was at a garage sale. We had a garage sale at our house here just a few months ago. And this guy comes down at the garage sale, and he looks around, and as he was getting ready to leave, for some reason, he just comes up to me, and he wanted to tell me about a story about what happened to him in his life, a tragic story that God, or not God, but that he got saved from. And I'm just like, okay, why are you over here sitting to me? You know, he must have saw a light or something, you know? And he was talking to me, and then he says, And then he said, and then, so I asked him, I said, so do you believe in God? And he said, the Bible is full of S-H-I-T. And I was like, okay. You know, I have kids. I'm not shocked at anything anybody tells me anymore. You know, and I said, okay. And then he asked me, so what do you do? And I said, I'm a pastor. And, you know, he kind of got a streak look on his face, you know. And then I was just kind of like, I'm a pastor. You know, and we started to talk. We talked for about a half hour, and I said, well, where do you think you go when you die? He says, in the cosmos. I said, the cosmos. Yes, there's a black hole, and we go to the cosmos in the black hole. I said, wow, okay. And I said, now, since you think the Bible is this, let me tell you what the Bible really is. And I told him everything about the Bible and how it's so true, and everything in it has come to pass that it said, and on and on and on and on. And I encouraged him. I said, just give God a chance, would you? Just give God a chance. Just open up to him and see what he does for you. And he said that he would. And I thought, that's all I'm asking for. You know, that was great. So, and here's the other thing. This is what we see living out our faith in social media, all right, in the virtual world. Did you know you can go to virtual church now? That is unbelievable. You could put on your VR and you can really seriously go to a church and meet the pastor personally, and they'll pray for you in VR world, and it's real. It's just, I can't even understand it. It's crazy. But we're seeing all this stuff, and of course, we got to deal with the real world and what we see in the real world. And what is truth these days? What is truth these days? There is your truth. There's my truth. That's huge. It came out in 2019, and it's growing and growing and growing in popularity. The Urban Dictionary says that the meaning of this is non-negotiable. In other words, you cannot contradict somebody's truth. So you can say, this is my opinion, and this is your opinion, and then somebody can give their opinion. But when you say, this is my truth, you can't give an opinion. You can't contradict it. I believe what I believe, and that's it. You believe what you believe, and that's it. No opinion. That's very dangerous, of course. And then, of course, we have the blessed Oprah Winfrey going to a big college campus at graduation, and she says, the most powerful thing that you students have is your truth. Please, Oprah, give me a break. It's absolutely not true. God is out, what I say is in, and that settles it. That's what people are saying. Coming so against this Bible. Kids are now suing their parents because they didn't ask them first if they wanted to be born. I'm like, excuse me? And I saw several kids that are suing their parents because they didn't ask their parents first if they wanted to be born. Well, I have news for you. I wasn't thinking about you at all. You know, I didn't ask for you to be born. I sure wasn't thinking about you either. You know, and we got dumb, ignorant judges taking these cases. It's stupidity. It's just stupidity. And this is where we're going. And I'm going to get on this too, because you can't trust schools either. You cannot trust the public school system. Allowing kids in kindergarten to determine whether they feel like they're going to be a boy today or a girl today. In kindergarten, 5 years old. That's nasty. That's messed up. Putting books in schools on how to change your sex. I mean, this is crazy stuff. You can't even go to a public school board meeting without being arrested because you're not allowed to give your opinion. Disney is slowly trying to desensitize us with sly words and, of course, cartoon scenes. You know, just slowly desensitizing, letting us know, putting this in, that these are good things and they're okay. Sly. And don't get me started with sports on Sundays and Wednesdays either. Listen, it's no coincidence that the devil has put sports on Sundays and sports on Wednesdays. And I get frustrated. That's one of my frustrating points. I see people leaving at 11 o'clock during service, coming and getting their kids in children's church. Where are you going? Football game. Oh, okay. Well, have a great day. You know, and I can say this because my 16-year-old son, 7-year-old son, he was fantastic at baseball. He ran all the bases. He's stolen the most bases. He was the third trick pitcher. I wasn't so thrilled about that. Every time he went up to pitch, I was like, oh, dear God in heaven, Jesus, little boy. When he was on, he was on. When he was off, get the ice packs ready for your son, or he's going to hit him with the baseball. But they were good. But I said, Quentin, you know, and they won championship and things like that. They came and got him from vacation. The coach wanted to get him from vacation. And we was in Tennessee. Go get him, come back, let him play, and then take him back. That's how good Quentin was. But Nicole went ahead and went from vacation and brought him up. They won the championship. He brought everything back. It was like, woo. But I said, you tell that coach, and if you can't do it, Quentin, I will. You're not missing church for baseball practice. Not gonna happen. And he said, okay, Dad. And I had to talk to the coach. And I said, unless you're in a championship game, he's not coming on Wednesdays, and he will not be there until church is over on Sunday. And if you don't like it, tough. And the coach is like, Randy, I'm good with that. Or Mr. Waters, I'm good with that. It's okay. Right? And Lincoln, my 18-year-old, he was fantastic in golf. He came all the way up here to Bluffton, Ohio, and beat 106 guys in districts and went to state. Got to play, man, in Columbus, Ohio. Fantastic with golf. But the same thing. Son, it ain't happening on Sundays, and it ain't happening on Wednesdays. And, of course, this is my family. This is my hot, sexy wife of 33 years right there. 33 years. She hates it when I say that. And, of course, we have Quentin, and we have Alexis, and then we have Lincoln, and then there's Ebony and Ginger, the two mutts. So, anyhow. But he was fantastic at golf. But I set the rules, and I told their coaches the same thing. And they said, okay. Unless you're in championships, church is important, and that's going to stay where it stays. Because 99% of your kids are going nowhere. They're not going to be professional anything. All right? As good as Quentin was, he ain't even playing baseball no more. As good as Lincoln was, he ain't even playing golf no more. And he got a scholarship at college for golf. That's how he got to college, through the scholarship. And he ain't even playing golf anymore. You don't even play when he's off of work. So 99% of your kids, they're not going to go to professional sports. It's not bad. Don't get me wrong, it's not bad. But the priorities have to be more important. Because when they go through a trial or a tragedy, you know, their baseball coach ain't going to help them. Throwing that baseball ain't going to help them. This is what's going to help them. So we have to prioritize and be careful of what we do. Now, we know all this was coming. All this is no surprise, because in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it said, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Say terrible. Terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And the parents said, amen. Ungrateful, and the parents said, amen. Unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Have nothing to do with such people. We're not to have anything to do with those kind of people. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. So how then do we anchor our faith and help our kids develop and hold on to their faith and make sure they are anchored as well in these last days? That's a big question. In this world and society that we live in, we as families are in a race. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Well, not in today's society. Everybody thinks they need a participation trophy. Everybody's a winner. Well, okay, I understand. Yeah, in Christ, everybody is a winner. But there are winners and there are losers. You know, in our kids' church, we have games, of course. And there's been times when, you know, the last two kids are up or whatever, and the one kid loses, and he goes back to his seat, he starts crying. Now, I'll let him cry just for a little bit. But then, if he continues, I look over and I'll say, yo, bro, listen, it was a stupid game, all right? You missed a piece of 20-cent candy. Get over it. Stop your crying now. Well, that's mean, Pastor Randy. No, that's pastoring. You know? You can't baby these kids. You know what I'm saying? So he's like, okay. Hallelujah. Run in such a way as to get the prize, the Bible says. And in Matthew 24:13, it says, the one who endures till the end will be saved. We have to endure. So as a family of faith, What does a picture of endurance look like? What does a picture of endurance look like? This is what I think it should look like right here. This picture is how I see a picture of a family with endurance. Dad's got an AK, mom's got an AK, kids got an AK. We're ready, baby. Come at us, world. You know, that's how I look at it. Come on, man. I'm ready for you. But you know, as Christians, that's not how it's going to work. That's not how it's going to happen. No, actually, this is what's going to happen because we don't wage a physical war, the Bible says. Right? We don't wage it. This is a spiritual war, not a physical war. So what does our weapons look like in the spiritual war that we are going to have to pick up and use? I found this one, and it's fantastic. Right there. That's my pistol Bible, baby. Yes. That's the spiritual one. And then we're going to need this right here as well as a family. That right there is how we're going to win our family and keep them grounded in the faith in these last treacherous, terrible times. That's what we have to do. That's what it looks like right there. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. And as a family of faith, we must be anchored into our chief cornerstone. And of course, that's Jesus himself. Jesus himself. And we've all seen what happens to boats that isn't anchored properly. If your boat's not anchored properly, we see pictures on television. You know, we see the storms that take, a million-dollar boat and just crushes them because the boats weren't anchored properly. Because actually, they say if you'll anchor a boat properly, it doesn't matter how much wind comes, the boat will be okay. So this is what happens. And parents, we have to be anchored spiritually to Jesus Christ first. Parents and even grandparents, all right? We have to be anchored spiritually first before we can do anything else. Because here's the deal. If we can't anchor ourselves to the cornerstone, and of course, let me have some more of that. Give me some more of that rope. A little bit more. Right there. Now, who is our cornerstone? Who is our cornerstone? Jesus, he's our cornerstone. And Brother Jim, today, you're Jesus, okay? Can you do that? All right, he's Jesus today. There you go. This is Jesus right here. All right, he's holding on to us. All right, and we have to grab the rope as parents first, and we have to hold on to our cornerstone first. If we don't hold on to our cornerstone, the rest of our family is doomed. It has to be us first, guys. Husbands are the spiritual heads of our houses, whether we like it or not. God puts us there first. So we need to take up our rope and do what we are supposed to do first so we can help our family. Amen? Absolutely. Amen. You know, even the world knows that before you put the airplane mask on your kid, put it on you first. Even the world knows that. So we have to do this first as spiritual heads of our household. We have to be the example, fathers, grandpas. Do they hear you praying? Do they see you reading your Bible? Do they see you praising God other than just at church? Do they see you saying the right things? Do they see you watching the right things? Do they see you going to the right places? Do they see you being a witness for Jesus wherever they go? Praying in public. Pastor Dosek embarrasses me. We're sitting at a restaurant and we're just praying over our food. And he'll go, "In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for this food." I'm just like, "Jesus. Okay, Pastor. Okay, I love it." But you know what? He's anchored and he knows what the truth is. And he's not scared of it and he's not embarrassed by it. So we have to anchor ourselves first. Watching over our kids. We have to be the example to our kids because they are watching us. They are looking up to us. They're mimicking us. They're mimicking what we do. Amen? Hebrews 5:12 says, "But by this time, You ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. We can't be like that as fathers and husbands in our house. If you've been saved, I don't even know, maybe 5 months, you ought to be doing better than what that scripture says. Amen? Am I hitting home a little bit here this morning? Because here's the thing. We have to be the light to our kids because the world's not going to be the light. We have to be the anchor for them as well. See, here's the thing. Berkeley, are you here? Where are you at? Berkeley, come here. Come here. Quick. You listening to me, girl? You better be listening to me. Come here. Get up here on the stage. Grab onto this rope right here. Give me a little bit more rope there, Jesus. Thank you. There you go, Jesus. There you go. A little bit more. All right, right there. Berkeley, hold on to that rope right there with me, okay? Here's the thing, guys. You know, when I go jet skiing, when my kids were young like this, I always put them in front of me. Why did I put them in front of me? Because I'm protecting them. You know, I'm watching them. If they're behind me and I'm having a blast and I, you know, next thing, uh-oh, where'd Berkeley go? Shoot. Doggone you. You know, hope she's still around. You know? But it's the same in our spiritual walk with Christ. Dads and moms, listen, they are not old enough yet to grab the rope and hang on to Jesus and use their faith for themselves yet. So you know what? When they're hanging on to this rope, listen, you're behind them. You're helping them. And when they let go of that rope, guess what? And they try to drift away. Ha! Get back here, Berkeley. Come on. It's okay. We're teaching them and we're helping them. And when they mess up, and they let go of the rope. Now, Berkeley, get back over here. Hold on to that rope, girl. You know better than that. You'll get a spanking if you let go of that rope again. You know? That's what they're for. That's what we're here for. Holding on to our kids as well. And then here's the other thing. Berkeley, thank you. You can say, oh, hey, Berkeley, I'll tell you what. Get a piece of candy. I think there's a piece of candy around the back corner. And bring that bowl up over here also, okay? Bring it up here. Brother Joe, come here. Give me some more rope. Jesus, you're being stingy, Jesus. Give me some more rope, Jesus. Thank you, thank you. Brother Joe, hold on to that rope back there, man. Back toward the end, toward the end. So here's the thing. Husbands, men of the church, when you are strapped into the cornerstone and when you got your act together, and I don't mean that you're not going to mess up, that you're going to have trials, but you're seriously trying to live for Jesus, not only are you helping your family, but then you get to help other people in the church. You know, because then people behind you then, you know what? They're hooked up as well. And when they're going through a trial, when something's going on, somebody's sick, they don't know what to do. Man, I don't even know if this Jesus stuff is going to work for me. I've prayed and prayed and prayed. Well, you're anchored, right? Well, guess what you can do? You can say, yo, Brother Joe, come on, man, come here. I got you. I got you. I'll pray with you. I'll fast with you. I'll do what I can with you. Because we're in this together. We're a family. Yes. That's what happens when you're hooked up properly to Jesus. Thank you, Brother Joe. Get yourself a piece of candy if you want. Run right there, brother. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you following me this morning? Can somebody say amen this morning? Amen. Amen. Did you just get one or did you get two? Oh, he was obedient. That's good. That's fantastic. Hallelujah. Listen, bringing your children to the house of God every time the doors are open is important. Bringing your kids to the events that we had yesterday and last night is very important. It means something because we're in a fight, you guys. We're in a fight. We shouldn't be going to church like we go to Texas Roadhouse once a month. Shouldn't be doing it. Every time the doors are open, we should be here. And if you understand the last days and what we're into and what we have to deal with and put up with, you should be here with your true family. Because what the Bible just said, don't have anything to do with that mess out there. Don't have anything to do with it. Hallelujah. I heard somebody say, well, you know what, we really don't need to make decisions about their faith, our kids' faith, because they need to like learn from themselves and they need to figure out their faith for themselves. And I'm like, okay. You know, if you know the truth, and Jesus said, I am the truth, the way, and the life, no one will come to the Father except through me. And we read our Bible, and we see truth, we see God working in our lives, we see miracles, signs, and wonders. I never passed English, and when I prayed, God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and I can speak a heavenly language perfect. You know? As loving parents, we need to tell our kids the truth. It's not indoctrination. It's not brainwashing. As loving parents, you tell them the truth. After you've told them the truth and lived the example, then eventually, yeah, you have to let go of the rope and give it to them, and they got to figure it out on their own. But until then, we have to be there for them. It's not indoctrination, because somebody else is out there going to try to suck their belief and their nonsense into them too. So we might as well be there first. Amen? Isaiah 7:9 says, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. We have to stand firm no matter what is blowing and coming our way. Without us being anchored to Jesus, using our offensive weapons, which is the Bible, which is prayer, and living by faith, we will not have the endurance that we need, and we will conform to the world. How many seats are empty today because of people like that? Lots and lots of seats today are just because of that. Absolutely. There's a reason Jesus said that only a remnant will make it to heaven. Holy moly, take your shirt and cut it in half. That's all that's going to get to heaven. It's scary when you think about it. Your tattoos, your clothes, your jewelry, even your business cards, they don't have to point to Jesus, but your lifestyle better. Your lifestyle better point to Jesus. What we say, how we act, what we do, where we go, who we hang out with, all should point to Jesus. We should always be preaching the gospel everywhere we go, and sometimes use words. You understand what I just said? And sometimes use words. I got two of our neighbors saved, not because of what I said, because of what they saw. I knew not to witness to the one. Every other word was an F word out of the guy's mouth. Woo, he was rough. But I never said, you shouldn't say that. Man, that would have turned him off. I let him cuss in front of me. I acted like it was no big deal. You know, I know who I'm attached to. It's no big deal. I wasn't trying to prove anything to anybody. But he saw my lifestyle. And one day we were going up to his cottage in Michigan. And you know, and Nicole and I had to fight that as well, because they invited us up to their cottage in Michigan. And they said, well, we know you guys don't drink, so you know what? We won't put out the beer for you guys. And Nicole and I struggled with that a little bit. Like, do we need to go there? Should we go there with our kids? I'm not sure if they're going to be drinking and partying. I don't know if I want to be around that. You know, and we just said, you know what? They're good people. They know. Let's just go. And so we did. And we had a great time with them. You know, and we never cussed, carried out. We never drank, you know, and I don't think they drank much either. You know, probably because they might have felt something. I don't know. I hope they did. But you know, on the way back one time to it was closing up for the winter, he looked over at me, and out of the blue, he said, Randy, how can I be like you? Now, this is a guy who made seven figures. He's over 565 people at his job, and he looks at little old me who barely made it through high school and said, how can I be like you? Wow, I felt pretty good that time. Ah. I said, Ray, I said, you don't want to be like me. I said, you want what's inside of me. You want what I'm hanging on to. That's what you want. And he gave his life to Christ. Then his wife gave his life to Christ. So fantastic. You know, he had three daughters. He has three daughters. And his $3 came against them probably after they've been saved about 4 years, 5 years. All three daughters who are adults came to him and said, why did you do this now? And they were all adults. Only one lived at home when he got saved. Why did you do this now, Dad? We liked you better the other way. You liked him better cussing and drinking and carrying on? Why did you do this now? He said, because nobody told me about Jesus then. They did now. And listen, it's been 16 years. And finally, 3 weeks ago, one of his daughters with her new husband and her baby started coming to our church. Yes. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's taken him that long to be the light to his family. But they're coming. They're coming. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That is fantastic. Acts 27:13 says, Paul tried to warn the centurion not to sail to Phoenix. When I got up here and I looked at this ship and I looked at everything, I'm like, holy moly, I want to use the scriptures about a boat too. This is just, God, you're so good. This is awesome. But he said in Acts 27:13, Paul tried to warn them not to go to Phoenix. But he listened to the pilot and most of the 276 people on board and agreed to go anyway. And then down in verse 13, it says, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But before very long, a wind of hurricane force called the Northeaster swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind. So we gave way to it and were driven along. As we passed to the lee of small island called Hawaii, I don't know how you say that word, Kadol or whatever, we were hardly able to make the lifeboat secure, so the men just hoisted it abroad. They had to throw cargo overboard, and on the third day, they threw all the ship's tackle overboard by hand. And in verse 20, it says, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. See, at that particular time, though, Paul encouraged the men. Don't give up. Be encouraged, he said to them. And in verse 23, he said, last night, an angel of God, and then he had to say this, listen, to whom I belong and I serve. He was a prisoner on the boat, you guys. He was a prisoner. Those guys must have thought, I don't know what they thought he did. But you know, they didn't treat prisoners very good. So he said, whom I serve and whom I belong to, said, do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Verse 27, on the 14th night, say 14, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea. He's been in this fight, in this storm for 14 days. No wonder they gave up hope, right? And then, of course, in verse 29, it says, fearing that we would be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. They cut the anchors loose in verse 40, and the ship ran aground and was torn to pieces by the waves. It looked a little bit worse than your ship here in the front where it was torn right there. But everyone reached land safely. You see, the anchors didn't just save Paul and the crew. And the anchor that we're tied to here just doesn't save us, but it helps us survive the storms that we go through. And it helped Paul survive the storm that they went through because of the anchors. Being anchored to Jesus will sustain us or keep us through any storms that we go through. And if you've been alive anytime soon, you guys know that sometimes we're blindsided by storms in our life. It just, we don't even see it coming, and it happens. And that happened to us, and this is the first storm that I want to talk about. We waited 8 years before we had kids. 8 years. We wanted to live our lives. We didn't want kids. Matter of fact, we hated kids. Kids, Pastor, are you kidding me? That's crazy. But we waited 8 years after we got married to have kids. When she got pregnant, everybody was happy. Plus, Pastor Dosek, if you know anything about him, he was very relentless. He wanted grandkids the first day we were married. And so we waited 8 years, so you can only imagine what I had to deal with and listen to. Aren't you a man? Do you need a book? You need somebody to show you how to get grandkids? I'm like, oh my gosh, jeez. They even hornswoggled us and said, if you'll have grandkids, we'll put in a built-in pool. And we're like, now that might work. You know? And so we held them to that. And then so we found out we were pregnant, and this is so funny, because Nicole and I took a gold shovel, and we put it in their backyard because we're like, Dig, suckers. Dig that pool. We're going to have a baby. You know, and we waited all day for them to call. And he's like, ah, you know, and everything. They never called all day. They never called all day. We're like, what is wrong with these people? Don't they know what's going on? What's happening? What's happening? So finally we gave up and we called them in the evening. We're like, hi, guys. And they're like, hey, well, what? Did you look out back? Yeah. Did you not see the gold shovel in the yard? Yeah, we wondered what that was. Did you not see the blue and pink bows on the gold shovel? Yeah, we did. What? It's like, oh my gosh. Start digging, because we're having a baby, you know? So we were all excited, and of course the church was excited. 8 years, they had to hear all of it too about how I don't know how to have kids, you know? So finally it was the day to find out if it was a boy or a girl. And what happened was, we went in there to the doctor, and we're excited. And the little nurse was doing the little thing on Nicole to find out, you know, the heartbeat and all this stuff. And we saw the heartbeat and everything. And then all of a sudden, she got puzzled. And she looked at us, and she got nervous. I looked at it, Nicole, and was like, I don't know. She says, I'll be back. It was like 10 minutes. She comes back. The doctor comes in. And he says, we see a problem. Okay. And then he got on the little thing, and he said, do you see the baby's head? I said, yes. It is 3 times bigger than it's supposed to be right now. Okay. And goes down to the inner parts and says, you see these areas where it's foggy? That's where the baby should have been developed by now. Okay. And it's not developed right now. Okay, so this is this or this or this. So they gave us the 3 things of why that this had happened. And then after he explained all these things, he said, we recommend an abortion. You talk about blindsided. We went in to find out if it was a girl or a boy. And we go out with, she's got an oblong head, she's this, she could have this or this, and you can have an abortion if you want to today. Wow, talk about a storm. That was a storm. We all got back in that car, Pastor Phyllis, Pastor Dosick, myself, and Nicole, and we all cried. We all sobbed and cried. And after we were all crying and sobbing, I looked at them, and I said, okay, are you ready? And they said, ready for what? I said, because now it's time to fight. And I picked up that rope. I picked up the cornerstone. Give me some more rope, Jesus. I picked it up. And I said, this is what we're holding on to, you guys. I went home and I found every scripture that talked about our kid. The promises about our kid. And I wrote them all down on 1 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I gave it to all my family only, Nicole, Phyllis, and Pastor. And I said, this is all we say. This is all we say. We're at war. This is all we say. And they said, okay. And that's all we stood on. Unlike Paul's 14 days of a storm, ours was 6 months. We'd go back to get another ultrasound. Nothing has changed. It's okay. Doesn't matter. I ain't moving. We go back the second time. We found out it's a girl. I said, all right. She's still not formed properly down there. Her head was still too big, whatever. And I said, it's a girl. It's a girl. I said, what are we naming her? Her name is Alexis. All right. So then I took all those scripture verses, and I would go down to Nicole's stomach, and I would say, Alexis, it's Dad. You're 100% whole. You're loved. God has a plan for you, Jeremiah 29:11. You're going to be somebody. The devil's a liar. You're healed in Jesus' name. I'd speak to her every day, every day. I'm holding on to this thing. No matter what we saw, I wasn't moved. I didn't move. Every now and then, Nicole, she'd get a little whatever. I'd say, ah, come here, baby. Stay. Don't you dare. So I saw it was too much for her. So I told the doctors, we will not be back. What? We will not be back. We're not coming back for another ultrasound again. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, I can do anything I want to. And we never went back for another ultrasound. And when we were ready to have that baby, there were so many doctors in the room. It was crazy. But I wasn't moving. I did not move. And she came out a perfect little girl, 9 pounds and 8 ounces. Perfect little girl. Nothing was wrong with her. Not one thing. I shouted the victory. It was a tough battle. It was hard. But we won because we know where we stand. I'm going to skip to the second story because this kind of affects the kids, and this is kind of about the kids today. The second storm that we went through was a whole different kind of storm. And you guys, I need you to know that storms build our faith, builds confidence. You have to declare God's truth, the word, in the midst of your circumstances. And you will know just how deep or shallow you're anchored in Jesus when the storm comes. Because they're all different. Make sure you're anchored into your church. Like I told you, it's very important to be anchored into your church because they're here to help you as well, stand with you as well. We need each other. And I can't tell you how important it is to have brothers and sisters in Christ holding the rope with us in times of our storms. But this last story, I wanted to say, and I put my heart on paper. I feel we did the best we could at raising our kids in the faith. And plus they had their grandpa. Woo! Grandpa Dosik was amazing. Anchoring them into Jesus and then handing the rope to them. My daughter's 24, Lincoln's 21. And Quentin just turned 18. It was tough handing the rope over. I don't want to. I'm still their father. You know? And until they're married, I'm still the headship of their home, still spiritual head of their house. I still tell them, you're my kid. You're not my friend yet. Soon they'll be your friends. But you're still your parent, you know? But we sent our 18-year-old off to Christian college and hope for the best. We sent him to, we checked all kinds of colleges out, Indiana, everywhere. We visited all kinds of colleges, and he really liked Ohio Christian University here in Columbus. So we sent him off. The first year seemed really good. Everything was okay. Man, he got that golf scholarship, and then he plays bass guitar. So he got another like $1,500 to play in the band, the band for the chapels and the services. We're like, yeah, all right, buddy, good job. Everything was great. First year was wonderful, beautiful. Second year, not so much. Whole different story. The Christian University. His attitude changed. He didn't come home as often as he did. He's only an hour and a half from home. Didn't come home as often. We're like, what's that all about? He called one day and he said, Dad, my grades dropped so bad that they kicked me out of the band. Kicked you out of the band? Out of the worship team? Yeah. I said, you mean to tell me that they'll kick you out of something that has to do with God at a Christian college, but let you stay playing golf? Hello? That's the world. Even in a Christian school, I thought, wow, that was stupid. Should be the other way around. But that's what they did. I said, okay. But they, of course, kept him on the golf team, which I thought was crazy. I got into his car at one point when he came home, and there were so many smell good items in the car. I'd never seen such. You ain't a girl. What's going on? Nicole and I, of course, were starting to get suspicious. What's happening here? And we asked him, is everything okay? And he said, yeah, everything's okay. Well, we could tell he wasn't telling us the truth. Some of his friends that he would bring home from college, they looked good on the outside. And they were always the basketball. He didn't like any of his friends in golf. I'm like, okay. He only liked the basketball friends, you know, 6'8". These guys coming home with him, you know, like, whatever, you know. On the outside, they look good, but man, there just wasn't something right. Clean cut, they look good on the outside, but man, you just know. You know or knows, you know, especially a parent's know or knows. One day he called, and he said he wanted to talk to the whole family, including Pastor and Pastor Phyllis. Okay. So when he got home, he told us that he had been drinking for a year. Talk about blindsided. You've been drinking for a year? What? I couldn't believe it. And he said, "And I've been smoking weed, and I even tried shrooms." I had no clue what the heck that even meant. I mean, tried shrooms, smoking weed. Dear God, when they were younger, I went and bought a beer and cigarettes and put them on the table. And I said, "Come on, guys, you're going to be tempted with this when you're older. Let's try it right now." I should have known something was up because he was the first one that said, "I'll try it, Dad." Second kids, got to watch them. And I was just perplexed. So perplexed. He said that he got drunk a couple of parties off campus. And then he was in a couple scary situations with some people that weren't so good. Listen, guys, I was livid. I was livid. I was sitting up there. And we had an exchange student, so we went upstairs to where my daughter lives in our upstairs apartment above the garage. And I was so angry. I was ready to wring his neck. I had to stay calm, even though I wanted to throw him off of the balcony up there. And I thought that was it. You know, pastor's sitting over here, and he's not saying a word. And then he said, "And yes, Dad, I had sex with my girlfriend." That did it. I got up. I was so angry because Nicole and I, we were virgins when we got married. We waited 3 years. And we referred to this when we got married. And we told the kids, it's important that you do this. That you stay a virgin because the thoughts that you're going to have, the things that the devil's going to do, when you have a different person, it can be crazy. We've counseled people. It's nuts. Don't do this. And he did. And I stood up and I said, "I can't believe you, kid." I said, "Don't you know what happened to Toby Mac's son? Do you want me to take you out there to his house? Are you stupid?" And he's like, "What do you want me to do, Dad? Just go jump off the balcony?" And I said no, but in my mind I said yes, because it wasn't high enough. He'd just break a leg or something. And then Nicole's like, "Randy, calm down." I said, "Calm down? We've raised this kid right." I said, "Look what Paul's been through. Pastor Dozing was wanted in 3 states. He's like, he was just the most horrible guy ever. And he's told them stories. And look how he turned out. And you still do this? Man, I wanted to wring his neck. So mad." And he said, "Well, Dad, just listen to me." I said, "Okay, I'm listening." Man, I'm steaming. He said, "There's a reason I'm telling you this, because something happened to me." I said, okay. He was asked to play bass for chapel because they needed him, and he reluctantly agreed because he wasn't living right. He didn't want to do it. He felt bad, but he did it anyway. And he said, during the praise and worship, the Holy Spirit fell on him like a ton of bricks. And he began to cry. And he said he repented right there while he was playing bass. You see, I thought I had always been the loudest voice in his life as he grew up. I tried to be as engaging as possible. I thought I had created a safe place for him to talk about anything that he was going through as he was growing up. I even brought beer home, like I told you, and cigarettes. And guys, here, look, check this out. It's going to happen. I was very transparent and vulnerable in front of him. We prayed every night together. We did devotionals every night together growing up. But even after all that, for some reason, give me some rope, Jesus. For some reason, that rope that he had around him that I had taught him his whole life, for some reason, he let go. He let go. And he started to drift. Let me have some rope, Jesus. Started to drift and drift and drift. For a year, he drifted, and we didn't even know it. Didn't have a clue that he was drifting away until that day that he played that bass guitar on that stage. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit jerked him. And instead it continued to drift, he grabbed hold of the rope and Jesus started to pull him back. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Because I know so many other kids, when the Holy Spirit pulls on them, they don't listen. And they keep drifting. And other bad, horrible things happen. Listen to the Holy Spirit, teenagers. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's there for you to help you, to guide you, even in the difficult times. I'm so thankful that he grabbed that rope. So thankful that he did. You know, at the end of that, well, before I say that, as he went back to college, and we're scared to death now, you know, even though he repented, Galatians 5:7 came into my mind. It says, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Because I wanted to find out who that person was. I'm going to cut them out. I'm going to mess them up. I was so angry. He told us that even when he was drunk, he would be witnessing to people. What? It's crazy. It's a kid. And he said one day a boy in the car with him off campus, they were going to some party, looked over at him and said, Lincoln, you don't belong here. They knew. They knew. God had his hand on him. Here's what I found out. Even though he let go of the rope, he could only drift so far. He could only drift so far because of what we've taught him, because of what we've brought him up in. And we just have to pray that if they do drift, when the Holy Spirit yanks, they grab it. They grab back on. And you know, we can't go crazy on them like I wanted to, because we made mistakes. We screwed up big time at times. And they're going to too, but be there for them. Be the light for them. Have compassion on them because God has compassion on you and I. Amen? He does. He went to his camp counselor, he said, campus counselor, after chapel that day, and he told him everything that happened. And the camp counselor apologized for doing his job and not looking out for his students. And they both cried together, he said. See, there are too many Christians drifting today. They're caught up in this secularized society, this political bias, racial tensions, conspiracies, alternative lifestyles, and so much more. And their answer isn't out there somewhere. The answer is right here, guys, in the church. This is where their answer is. When it comes to storms, you look out for a lighthouse. You don't run away from a lighthouse. And this is a lighthouse. This is a lighthouse. Galatians 6:9 says, in running our race, let's not grow weary in doing good, because we can grow weary. Stay anchored to Jesus in the storm. Keep raising your kids in the Lord and being the anchor for them. It's so important to do it when they're young, this age. If the devil can't abort them, which he tries to do, now he's trying at 5 years old to get them to have a sex change. He's sick. He's demented. Between the ages of 7 and 13, they get saved. And by the time they're 13 or 14, they know who they're going to serve growing up. That's why it's so vital to have an awesome children's church and be there for them and support it like never before today. In these last day of terrible times, messed up people will drift to this lighthouse. And you got to be there for them. You got to be ready for them to help them and pray for them. Even out here in the middle of the cornfield, God will lead them to this desolate place. And you're going to be there for them and you're going to help them. Like, I've already heard a couple stories that has happened already. Some people have changed their lifestyles and gotten saved because of you. Because you're not judgmental. Yes, God loves everybody, and yes, he does hate sin. He will not tolerate the sin. But he loves people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You will be the anchor. You will be the anchor. So here's what I want to do. I want everybody to stand up. And this is what I felt the Lord said. Say to me today. If you have your family, I want you to get with them. If dad, you're here, I want you to get with your family. Get with your kids. Find them. Get with them. And I don't know, this might be uncomfortable to you, dad. Why is it, guys, husbands especially, you know, our wives are more spiritual than we are. Always has been. My wife is awesome. If I'd have listened to her twice, I'd be a millionaire today. Instead, I did it my way. It was horrible. But our wives, they're just so much more spiritual than us. How is it that we can be together as husbands with our wives, you know, do the wild thing, but yet we can't pray with our wives? We can't hold their hand and just, let's pray together. What is up with us? Is it pride? What is it? I don't know what it is. And if you don't have a family with you today, if you're a single mom and you don't have a husband, but you have kids, come down here right now, because we're your family. But if you have your family with them, what I want you to do, I want you to pray with them right now. Husbands, I want you to pray over your wife and over your kids. Whatever comes to your heart. If this is new to you, that's fine. Just pray whatever comes to your heart. And just pray for them out loud so they can hear you. And moms agree. And if something comes up, and mom, you have something to say, the Holy Spirit says something to you, I said, then you pray over them as well. Do it right now as a family. We don't need music. We just need each other. Husbands, if your wife is there and you're just together, just pray over each other. Pray over each other. Pray out loud. Thank God for them. Hallelujah. Right now in Jesus' name. Again, if you're a family here and you don't have a husband or a wife, please come up here. I will pray with you. I will help you. Hallelujah. But thank you. Just pray for him right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise, Father, this morning for families, Lord God. Families. The devil is destroying the family. He's just trying to destroy the marriages. We come against that in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that in the lighthouse here, there are strong marriages and strong families that unite with each other and together in the name of Jesus. God, I come against fighting, God. I come against rebellion. Lord God, I come against divorce in the name of Jesus. Right now in this house of God, I thank you, Father, that families are uniting like never before in these terrible times. Lord God, they will depend on each other and help each other in the name of Jesus. God, if anybody is not coming toward the light, the cornerstone of Jesus, the lighthouse, God, I ask you to convict their spirit right now. Convict them right now to grab onto that rope. Teenagers, Lord God, I rebuke anything that's coming against their teenager's mind. Any boys or any other girls that are of the world that's trying to seduce them, I curse that and I command them to leave them alone in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for protection around them, Lord God. Protection around their homes in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that even by faith we will pick up that rope, that anchor, Jesus, and hold on to him. Even if we feel there is no hope, there is always hope. I thank you for helping each family run this race today. Run it and not stop in Jesus' name, because they will see the finish line. Our families will see salvation. Kids that are not here, that are abroad, kids that have backslidden, God, we speak to them. God, we have a promise for them. They will come home. They will see salvation. The Holy Spirit is tugging on them even now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Holy Ghost. I give you praise for it, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Arrest them, God. Arrest their minds in the name of Jesus. I thank you for a sound mind, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We give you praise for it and honor for it in the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for every family here, God, that it's a tight bond, Lord Jesus. Oh, we give you praise for it today, God. We thank you for moving and ministering, Lord God, in this house, over each family, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Devil, you're defeated. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You are under our feet in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we just give you praise, and we just worship you right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, for binding us closer together this morning, Lord God, as a unit, as a family, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you for it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, God, yes, for ministering to them now. Speaking to them now, God. Hallelujah. If you have to say sorry, say sorry. Hallelujah. I've said sorry so many times to my kids. It's ridiculous. Hallelujah. Be humble. Be transparent right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Our kids today, they're looking for real. They see so much fake. Be real for them. Be real for them in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, we thank you. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for setting families free this morning. Oh, setting minds free this morning, Lord God. Putting people back together, God. Mending their wounds, their spiritual wounds right now in Jesus' name. As they, by faith, Lord God, reach out to you, husbands and wives. Father, I thank you for mending their relationships. God, right now, supernaturally, in this place. God, I thank you that it's happening. Oh, I thank you for it, Holy Ghost. Oh, we give you praise for it. We give you praise for it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, you're so good. You're so good. You're so good. Hallelujah. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, listen, this is the time. This is the time right here. Again, we're family. If you don't know Jesus or you've messed up and you want prayer, then come up here right now and I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. There's no humiliation in being a part of a family. Praise God. Come on up here if you need it. Come on up here, anybody. Anybody, anybody. Thank you, Jesus. You're so worthy to be praised. Everybody's good in the house? Everybody's good in the house? Hallelujah. God, we just thank you. Oh, we just thank you. We just praise you for what you've done, what you're doing in this house, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Everybody happy? Everybody happy? What time is it, Brother Joe? Anybody got a watch? 12:15? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. You're used to Pastor Joe? Hallelujah. Let me say just this one thing, and then I'll let you go. There's a couple things this generation of worldly kids and young adults will find out. Number one, they scream and yell that you need to be yourself. Embrace who you are. Embrace your sexuality. Whatever makes you happy, do it. But you know, that's not found in the Bible anywhere. It's not there. You can look all over the place. It's not there. This oppressive book that we have, it says just the opposite, that we are to deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow him. When you've given your life to Jesus, you're not your own. You've been bought with a price and you've been set aside to do what he's called you and I and your family to do. And we have to do it right now. Right now. And number two, all these weird statements that are out there today, these kids cannot be binary people. And if you don't know what that means, that means they're neither a male or female. When they say I'm binary, that means they're not female and they're not male. They can't be a gay person. They cannot be a homosexual. They cannot be bisexual or transsexual. Those do not define a person, you guys. That defines, and they can never be those things. It's impossible to be those things. They can only be a male and a female. That's it. That's all they can be. That's all that God made them, and they can never be anything else. They have the Y and X chromosomes, and the female has the 2X chromosomes. No, getting rid of body parts, adding parts, changing their outward appearances can never change who God created them to be. Those things define their desires, their behaviors, and their attractions. That's all those are. And again, Oprah again said, I believe in a God who accepts all kinds of people. Yeah, there's only two kinds, male and female. What God will not accept is the sin. Is the sin. He loves the person, but those behaviors he will not accept. You can say transsexual and you can say adulterer. You can say a gay person and you can say a liar. It's all sin. And as these kind of people start coming in these doors, these young adults, they're confused. They don't know what to do. They're going to be sent here. You guys are going to have to understand and do your homework about this stuff. You're going to have to know how to deal with them. Because this is messed up stuff that we've never had to deal with before. I never heard of this stuff growing up. So just be ready. Do your homework. And do it in love. Do it in love, you guys. Amen? I felt the Lord wanted me to tell you that. These people can't separate their sin from who they are because they think they're one in the same, and they're not. And when you pray over them, I believe God will reveal that to them. He'll break that spirit. That's what we're here for, and this is what's coming, and already has been coming in monster churches that are in horrible secular cities across the world. But it's coming here too, to our rural country, and we got to be ready for it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this wonderful body of Christ, these people this morning, your family of faith. God, I thank you, Father, that these words will not return void. Your words will not return void this morning. Lord God, families will never be the same after this morning, Lord God, with your words, with what you've told them, because your words are life, and they are Zoe today. Oh, I thank you for helping each family today, God. I thank you for being there for them. I thank you for shedding the light on situations that they need to resolve in their family. God, I ask that you show mom and dad, grandma and grandpa things, Lord God, that their kids might be going through. Open their minds, open their hearts. Let the kids come back, Father. Let conviction fall on them like never before, Jesus. I bless every family here today. I thank you, Father, that they are the head and not the tail. They are above and they are not beneath. God, I speak blessing to them at home. I speak blessing over their jobs. I thank you for promotions and raises, Lord God. I thank you for that today. I thank you for jobs opening up to those who need a job today in Jesus' name. Oh God, I thank you for healing coming to their homes and through their bodies this morning also in Jesus' name. I give you praise for that, Father. Oh God, and I thank you for this house that people are coming from the north, south, east, and the west to this lighthouse in a cornfield. Bring them and draw them, Lord God, for they are ready. They are ready. They are ready, God. And I thank you, Father, that they're witnessing and bringing the people in. And I thank you their lives will be changed and this place will grow and grow and grow. We give you praise for it today. And I thank you for it all. And everybody said, amen. Love you guys. Brother Joe, whoever.
We just wanted to real quickly say thank you to everybody that helped us this weekend. We really appreciate it. We feel the love and we feel the support for our kids in this place. If you did not get a bag of groceries, there are a bag of groceries in the back. Grab one or two, or if you know somebody that might need them, grab them. Am I forgetting anything else? Anybody? And if you're helping clean up, stay and help. Let's stick around. Thank you again, everybody.